This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. We're here every week to talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and educational and topical and local for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. It's a big local, I found out, but for everybody that's listening, you know, we always try to let you know what's going on in our community, whether it be culture, education, health, just keep you up on events, not-for-profits that are going on that are, you know, making a difference here in Western New York. And right now, at this point, I think I must be obsessed with the Broadcasters Hall of Fame because I'm on the board and because I know the people and because I care about it so much and because I think it's very important to all of us to recognize all of the different broadcasters and people that have made given us so much information and made a difference in our lives. So with that said, of course, we know that our very own Susan Rose is being inducted into, well, has been actually inducted into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And our guest today is another inductee. So I don't mean another. I mean, she's just as important as Susan, of course. But actually, she's in a different category, Jackie Alboretta. And I totally forgot what category. Jackie, what category is it? I forgot. Don't tell me you don't know.
It's a behind the scenes
category. Behind the scenes, okay. And Susan we know is in the broadcasters category. So I want to tell you a little bit about Jackie, and not only because she's being inducted into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame, but because she's such a versatile, interesting person in our community and has contributed so much to the arts, to broadcasting, to theater, to I just can't, and especially, which is not my field at all. If anybody's listening, they're going to actually crack up laughing when I tell them this. But Jackie is well known for her gardening skills, which is a total joke because for me to even be talking about it, because I have, I guess, a purple thumb. If there's something that's the opposite of a green thumb, it's me. And I never even knew that flowers like come from the ground. I thought they came wrapped. They come wrapped in white paper from the florist. And until I came here to live here many years ago, I mean, I was in Manhattan. I never saw a flower except in a flower shop. So you can imagine what a terrible gardener I turned out to be. But Michael was my husband. Was very good. You know, he grew up here and absolutely knew how to grow things. Well, for more than 30 years. Jackie Alboretta has produced innovative award-winning content across a broad range of media. And we're going to be talking to her about this broad range of media. And we welcome you to On Target, Jackie. And I'm so happy to see you. But I wanted to maybe let our listeners know as I said, versatility, some of the things that you have been involved in the community, which led you to become a Buffalo Broadcaster Hall of Fame person.
Well, it's great to be here. It's great to see you again. You know, I started out, I was the first female engineer, and I started out at WKBW-TV way back in the 70s. From there, it was a great experience. Actually, before that, I had worked with Indigo Productions doing sound and lighting and in the theater. And then I went to Channel 7, and I learned a lot at Channel 7. I made some wonderful lifelong friends there. And while I was at Channel 7, Ron Martzoff, who was the program manager at the time, gave me an opportunity. I had an idea for a documentary that I wanted to produce on group homes that were just coming into the neighborhoods in Western New York. And so I produced this documentary on group homes, and it met with some really great reaction from people in our community and people from the state. It won a New York State Broadcasters Award. What I really wanted to do was be a producer. I mean, I was in engineering, but I really wanted to be a producer. And this gave me an opportunity to kind of show what I could do as a producer. After that, PM Magazine was just coming into the Buffalo market at Channel 4, and I was hired as the associate producer of PM Magazine. So I was there for a few years, and then I left PM Magazine to start my own company, Avid Productions, along with Kathy Vogel Matthews. And we started a video production company. And we were the first women-owned video production company in the city. And at the time, there was also only about two or three video production companies in the city. We did a lot of things. We did commercials, we did industrials, and we did programming. We had several programs that we did for WNED-TV. One was a teenage talk show that was patterned after, you know, the old Oprah Winfrey show, but this was long before anyone heard of Oprah Winfrey. But it was for teenagers, and it was live every single night, five nights a week. We brought in kids from different schools throughout the area, from Buffalo Public Schools and other schools, and we talked about topics that were important to kids, you know, things like being a child of divorce, and fun things like school lunches. So that was really a wonderful opportunity. That company, we went on to install the first in-house television system at what was then Pilot Field, and we did video for all 80 or 90 home games for like seven seasons at Pilot Field. From there, I kind of went off and started a second company where I was really primarily doing documentaries. Then I taught. I taught for 10 years. While I continued my company, I taught digital media. I started out at BOCES, and then I just left Bennett High School last June, where I taught animation and digital design for 5 years. It was wonderful because I really feel like I helped train the next generation of broadcasters. And there's some great, great kids out there. There's some great people that are going to be entering our marketplace like as soon as they get old enough. But in addition to that, I've always been a still photographer and a writer. So I have and a gardener. I have I'm on Channel 2. Here's my shameless plug. You can see me on Daybreak on WGRZ Channel 2 Saturday mornings with my garden tips. And I have a gardening book that's out. And I still do garden talks in the community. I have one tonight, as a matter of fact. I also wrote a book on women in the City of Good Neighbors, which profiled women who made a difference in Western New York. And the book was really produced to celebrate women in our area. And there's a second book coming out. I'm actually working on it right now, which will celebrate more women who have contributed to our community. And all of the proceeds from this book are going to be going to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation locally. So every dollar that's made, it's being sponsored by Scott Beeler and the Wester Auto Group, and every dollar is going to go to cystic fibrosis locally.
Are you one person? Is there like more than one Jackie? One person could not have done all of this and been innovative for women in all of these fields. Do you have like a... What do they call it? A twin sister?
A doppelganger?
Yeah, you must.
I actually, in real life, I had a twin brother who passed 2 years ago. But in my business and in everything else, there's only one of me. But I guess, I don't know. I get bored easy, I guess, so I keep doing it. You know, the thing is, I love telling stories. And so I tell stories through my photography. I tell stories through my video. I tell stories with words. And, you know, there's just so many exciting stories out there in the world that every time I do something new, whether it's a video or whether it's a print piece, I'm excited because I'm communicating a story. I'm telling a story of something I've seen or something that someone told me.
This is just different versions, I guess,
yeah.
Of, you know, whether it be photography or, I don't know about gardening, but you know.
Gardening tells a beautiful story, too. A little seed
like
grows up and becomes a plant.
Well, like I said, I like to look at them.
Good.
You know, but you know, what I think is important, one of the points that I want to make and I want you to make is... many of these, the engineering, the documentaries, many of these fields were not open to women when you started. I mean, when you started, and you said to me, I was an engineer back. I didn't know that. Even we've known each other since AM Buffalo days, when I was doing a legal segment and you were doing, I think, a gardening segment back in those days. However, I didn't realize that how difficult it had to be in all of these endeavors to be a woman at that point.
You know, when I started, it was difficult. I was super, super lucky that I had a mentor, Joe Romanowski, who owns Indigo Productions. And when I started with him, he taught me, like, how to solder and how to put cables together and how to wire things. And I love doing things like that. So I really soaked up everything that he taught me. But he gave me an opportunity to learn that. And then he also gave me the confidence to go out. He said, Jack, you can do whatever you want. So I took that confidence, and that's when I went into television. And then again, I have to say that at Channel 7, the guys that were there, they were all seasoned veterans, and they were all like, they were all in their 50s, and I was just 20 years old. But, you know, they kind of treated me like I was their daughter, and they showed me the ropes, and they were really kind to me and taught me a lot. The only time I ever really ran into, like, pushback from people, there was a time when I was doing sound and lighting on the road with big major groups, and often it was through Indigo Productions, and then I worked for another production company. When I went to other cities, I would get some pushback every once in a while, just because it was so weird for all these guys. You know, I would be in union houses, and they were all men, and it was just weird for them to see a woman, and especially a young woman, who was running the show, really backstage, technically. But, you know, I'm so happy now. I look at the women that are out there now, friends, you know, young women who are climbing up to the top of the light poles in rigging, women who are running the control rooms at major stations, women who are coding, you know. There are just so many fields now where women are finally in the forefront, and that's what makes me really happy.
It should, because you are, you know, one of the leaders and one of the examples that they follow. If you wondered what amazing person I'm talking to and you just tuned in, we're having a conversation with Jackie Albarella, and a Hall of Fame inductee, recent Hall of Fame inductee, but also an award-winning person in so many fields and in so many ways, and we're talking about that, and a leader in so many ways. I want to, before I get too far afield, I mentioned to you right at the beginning that you mentioned you're an accomplished photographer, and there's shows at various places where people could see your work, and one is at my Buffalo History Museum. So I wanted you to just tell us a little bit about the work and what people can see. And you mentioned another place too where you have an exhibit.
Yep. So at the Buffalo History Museum, which is one of my favorite places in the world.
Me too.
And, you know, the Buffalo History Museum is all about holding the stories of our community. That's its mission. And so I tell the story in my exhibit that is there. It's called Artifacts. And it came about because I grew up living next to the famed watercolorist Charles Birchfield. And then after he passed, my mother bought that house. So as a very young teenager, I moved into his house and his studio because it became our house. So throughout the years, I'm really a pack rat. And I've saved tons of things from my youth. And then I also saved some things that we found when we moved into the house. So I've taken these artifacts and I've put them together into collages. And then I have photographed the collages. So what you're going to see are collages of artifacts from my growing up, which includes things that were mine. For example, I have one collage called Twins. And it has my baby bracelet. Years ago, when you were born, they gave you a little beaded bracelet that had your last name on it. So I have my baby bracelet and my brother's baby bracelet. And then with that, I have a card from the Birchfields that says, congratulations on the baby, but baby is crossed out and it says babies because we were twins. And, you know, the thing about the Birchfields and my relationship and my family's relationship was they were our neighbors. And, you know, when my mother had another baby, there were seven of us. So when my mother had another baby, Mr. Birchfield would cut beautiful tulips from his garden and hand them over the fence to my mother because we were neighbors.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How fortuitous, too. You know.
After he passed, you know, Mrs. Birchfield, who was quite old at the time, my mother would send my brother next door to get her every night, bring her over and have her sit on our porch, and they'd have tea and pie, and then my mother would make my brother take her back home and make sure she got in her house okay. So we were neighbors. So this series of photographs just is a collection that shows how our families molded together, really, and in a way, how maybe growing up next to him or being around him or being his friend maybe kind of influenced my work as well.
Maybe it came over the fence. Maybe
that's
the talent.
Right. That's right.
Seeped over the fence from one house to another, but definitely influenced. And what an influence to be, you know, living next to the one and only Birchfield. Yeah. That is amazing.
And you know what? He was a very nice man. And I think about it now, and I think, you know, if we were neighbors today, it would be very different because the world is very different. You know, at that time, people respected his privacy. Like, he would be out in the backyard by a studio painting, and that was right next door to our backyard. And I remember when he was outside painting, my mother would tell us, "Now listen, Mr. Birchfield is working out there today. Don't bother him." You know, and inevitably, our ball would go over the fence, and we would think, "Oh my goodness, my mother's going to kill us." But he would always throw the ball back. But, you know, we would go over there trick-or-treating, and we loved it because Mrs. Birchfield always gave us a quarter. Like, she gave everybody else in the neighborhood, they came like an apple. But for the Alborella kids, she gave us like a quarter. And it was like, wow, it was fantastic. So it was just a different time.
Yes, you're right. It was a different time. Imagine now he would have to have security and fence and not a fence with a neighbor. God knows what he would have to have.
Yes, right, right. Exactly right.
You're right. Those were definitely the good old days. There's another, I don't know if it has to do with Birchfield, but I know you have another exhibit somewhere, too.
The other exhibit is, I'm really proud, it's part of the Buffalo Society of Artists, of which I'm a member, and it's at the BAM Gallery, which is a wonderful new gallery that's in the Pierce Arrow building. And this is this exhibit is all of the exhibiting artists for the Buffalo Society of Artists. And I have one piece in there that's called Daybreak, and it's a landscape, very traditional landscape. Happens to be a sunrise that I took when I was on a trip to Greece, but it is a traditional landscape. But that show, the artists from the Buffalo Society of Artists, painters, photographers, sculptors, it's really some of the most beautiful work that's being done in this city. So it's well worth going to see that exhibit because you'll get to see a really broad scope of the different kinds of artwork that are being done at the highest level in the city.
And we want people to take advantage and to know about all of these fabulous, you know. I always talk about how many wonderful community theaters we have here.
Yes.
And let our audience know that they have so many choices and so much talent. And it's the same with art and artists, that we have so many galleries. I always forget I'm so kind of obsessed with the theater aspect, you know.
Yeah,
that
right.
I forget about the other talents that we have here culturally in Western New York. You know, you mentioned being in the forefront as a woman, but also, how has the technology, you must have had to learn a lot over the last, since you started in, you know, in production, in technology, in all of the all the innovations that have happened in the last, all of the, you know, improvements, I guess you're going to say, but still, it's like me trying to learn how to do the Apple Watch. I mean, so far I can't, but you know,
and
multiplied by 1,000 because you're doing it for a living.
Sure, and you know, that's been one of the most exciting things too about my career is, when we started, you know, to edit a piece of videotape. When I was at Channel 7, they were editing film for the newscast by physically cutting, splicing film. I mean, the photographer would have to run back to the station, and it would have to get into the processor, and then it would come out of the processor, and there'd be A.B. Marks would be back at the film thing, and he'd be literally physically cutting the film and gluing it together so it could play, you know? And then we moved into the era where we had machines that could edit videotape. Of course, it was a giant room with big, noisy machines that would get very hot, so you'd have to have fans everywhere, and you could only each time you made an edit, it you would lose some quality of the videotape. So by the time you got to like the third edit, it started to look a little bit like pictures from the moon. So you have to be very careful that you didn't go down too many generations. But now, and everybody had huge production facilities. Now people are editing, for the type of work that I do, I'm editing on a laptop and I'm doing it in my kitchen. I'm not even doing it in a studio space. I'm doing it in my kitchen. And on that laptop, I have programs that allow me to do animation, motion graphics, audio sweetening. Everything that I need to do is in that laptop. And also, even with the bigger studios, there are still bigger studios out there, but everything is electronic. So just like us recording this show today, we're talking into a microphone. It's getting recorded onto a little disk somewhere or onto a hard drive, and then it's going to be shot out to the world, and everybody's going to listen to it either on their phone or on their laptop or whatever. The technology is incredible, and every day something new comes out. One of the great things about teaching was I had to make sure I was always staying one step ahead because my students were looking at the most, the biggest and the best and the most expensive equipment that was coming on the market. So I had better know what's coming out there so I could talk to them about it.
Tell me about some experience you've had where everything went wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You're looking like, oh, there's a lot.
Oh, there is. There's a lot because especially when you do live programming, you can prepare as much as you want. You can always double check everything. But then when that button goes live, anything can happen. And, when I was with the television stations, you hear all these horror stories about newscasts. A reporter getting stuck on location and not being able to make it back to the studio, or a reporter on location and, the equipment doesn't work to get the signal back. But this is one of the things about my industry that I love is we're problem solvers, yes. And artists are problem solvers too, because, whenever you're putting something together, even whether it's a newscast, whether it's a video, no matter what it is, there is a certain aspect of creativity to it. And as a creative person, you have to be able to look at the detail, but you've also got to be able to pull your mind back and look at that 25,000 feet view from above and say, okay, let me look at the whole situation here. How am I going to solve this problem? And so that's why we become problem solvers. I did big corporate shows in Las Vegas for a number of years, where the corporation would bring in 3,500 of their employees, and you would have the big show, the opening night show, where you'd bring in some famous singer or a speaker, a motivational speaker that was going to kick off the whole thing, and you would double check and triple check the guy's mic because he was going to have this big splashy opening where lights would go off and pyrotechnics would happen, and there he'd be, and every once in a while, so you're ready, you're rehearsed, it's time, lights go off, pyrotechnics go off, everything looks beautiful. Where is the guy?
Where
is the guy? And it's like somebody told him that he was going to be on in like 2 minutes. The stage manager had him right backstage, but he decided he was going to run out and like fix his hair one more time or something, and he missed his big cue. So now what do we do? All the pyrotechnics have gone already. Yeah. So now we got to immediately come up with something.
Punt. Right. Yeah, that's where you have to be quick.
You have to be a quick thinker, right?
Which yeah. I know you are. You're saying Jackie. I want to say your name 1,000 times so people know who we're talking to. And Kevin just walked in, and he always tells me, keep saying who you're talking to. He used to have a note here to say, always restate guest names and topic. Okay, Jackie Alvarella. I just want to say that you're teaching and, talking to students at Bennett High School, this and this, but do you think that a lot of, your ability and the ability to do the different, talents that we've talked about is genetic, is inherited, and you can't teach it? I don't think we could teach anybody to be another Jackie Alvarella.
The world is probably happy for that.
No.
I think... I think lots of what I can do can be taught. First of all, I mean, the technical aspects of something can definitely be taught. Whether somebody's going to like it or not is a whole situation. I think the real key to it is if you love something, if you have a passion for something, you can learn how to be effective at it. You know, I always wanted to be able to draw, and I'm not a good freehand drawer. But I've been studying how to draw and watching some YouTube videos and practicing how to draw. I don't think I'll ever be a great illustrator, but you know what? I'm getting to the point where I can draw something and be just for myself and be happy with what I've drawn. So I think if you're passionate about something, if you really want to do something, you can learn how to do it. You need to get the right teacher or the right mentor, and you need to just put your nose to the grindstone and stick to it. You know, I have kids I had a girl in my class last year at Bennett High School who was teaching herself how to animate because my class was moving too slow for her. So she would take what I taught her and then she would go online and watch more videos and practice and do it and do it and do it. By June of last year, I could have gotten that girl a job at one of the animation houses in this town because she was good enough. She's only 16, so she has to wait a little while. But she wanted to do it so bad, and she just focused on it. And, you know, young people today, in many ways, are focused. I mean, okay, maybe they're focused on their screen and on TikTok, maybe they need to be focused on something else.
They're focused on their phone.
Right.
But, okay.
But what if we took that energy, and what if we took that passion, and what if we took that focus, and they focused on something else? They focused on learning how to code. They focused on learning how to take photographs. They focused on being a great actor. They focused on
being a lawyer. Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they decided they loved law and they loved representing people. Well, then I think it can happen.
Right, if you really want something bad enough. I'm going to focus on trying to color within the lines from now on. That's about all I could do.
One thing, I've never colored within the lines.
Okay.
It's like kind of my personality is such that I do not color.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I have no creativity whatsoever.
It's kind of a metaphor for life. Nobody should color in the lines.
Oh, good. That makes me feel better. Jackie, do you have, maybe anybody listening wants to get a hold of you for a production problem or issue or job or something. Do we have a
website.
Okay.
You know, www.jackiealbarella.com.
Okay, and you're going to have to spell that,
yeah.
You know.
JACKIEALBARELLA.com.
I guess you've spelled that a few times in your life,
yeah.
Right?
You can send me a message through there, too.
Congratulations a million times over for receiving and entering into the Buffalo Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope we'll see you again next week. Same time, same station. Bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.